Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life that you want on your own terms, not the life other people expect you to live, but living it on your own terms and strengthening your resolve. We are about making survival simple, not extreme. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But, you know, living life on your terms, living it the way you want to live it, it's probably the greatest freedom that you can have. And there's a lot of people out there trying to make us live the way they want us to live. The government's one of them. I'm not going to get off on a high horse on that right now and start, you know, spewing out a bunch of political stuff. But, you know, that people are trying to influence how you live. And the greatest freedom that you can have is to do it the way you want to do it. So you are listening to episode 21. And it's Friday the 25th of September. A couple of announcements I want to start with. I have some first-time listeners. Welcome. I also have some more international listeners. Welcome to you too. It's great to know that when you do a show, it's got so much reach as to reach out into other countries. And there's people all over the world that want to become more independent and learn how to live a more secure life. So welcome to all my international listeners as well. I also want to talk about our sponsor of today's show, The Survival Mom. Lisa Bedford has a blog called thesurvivalmom.com, and she has also agreed to support today's episode. So I want to reach out to her. She's been doing a great job of helping me promote today's survival show. Ladies, check out thesurvivalmom.com. Excellent resource. Guys, if you have a wife, girlfriend, significant other that you want to turn on to survival and independent and secure living, have them go to thesurvivalmom.com. I think you're going to enjoy it. And I think Lisa was just recently interviewed by somebody else in the survival podcasting business, so check that out. I'm sure it's a pretty good episode. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I am going to make a commitment to listen to that today. So thank you, Lisa, thesurvivalmom.com. Check out her blog as well. And the next announcement I want to make, I'm going to keep this real short, but it's something I haven't done yet. I have recorded 20 complete episodes. The listener count continues to grow, and so does our membership in the forum. So no doubt, you're getting some benefit from some of the information that I'm talking about. If you feel that this is of benefit to you, again, this is the first time I'm going to do this, but I'm going to ask if you feel that it's in your heart to do so, if you wouldn't mind making a small donation to today's survival show. There are hosting fees that I have to pay to keep this show going, and there's a couple of other small fees associated with it. And I'm not even going to ask you for a specific amount. I'm just saying, if you feel that it's in your heart to donate, to keep this show going and to support it, you can go to todayssurvival.com. There is a donate button on there. You can use PayPal. Don't use a credit card. All right, staying out of debt is one of the hallmarks of living a more independent life. Don't use a credit card. I don't need your money if you can't pay for it in cash or coming straight out of your bank account. But if you can do that, I would appreciate that. That would help very much. That's all I'm going to say about that. Thank you very much in advance for any of you who choose to do so. So let's dive into our topic matter now. The first thing I want to talk about is an email that I got from a gentleman who listens to the show, and it was a great email. We're also going to talk about staying fit and dieting. And then we're also going to talk about some simple preparations that you can do that don't cost a lot of money. As a matter of fact, many of them are free. Let's start with the listener email. A gentleman sent me an email a few days ago, and first of all, complimented me on keeping the show practical. And thank you for that compliment, sir. I appreciate that. He also said he's been going through some financial challenges lately, and I'm not going to get into details because it was a private email that he sent to me. But he said he's been going through some financial challenges, but seemed like he was pretty content with the way his life was right now. And you know what? I'm reading some contentment in that, and that's great, sir. You know, one of the things I want to say to everybody who's listening to this show is be content with what you have first. Don't lust for a whole lot more. That's one of the traps that we fall into as we start to want and want and want. It seemed like this gentleman was happy, but his question to me was, what is it that he could do to continue preparing? Did I have any advice or did I have any suggestions for him? And without knowing a whole lot of details on his situation, there are a couple of things. He also mentioned that he just recently got his concealed carry license, and he said, well, I'm carrying a lowly 22 revolver, 9-shot revolver, but it's what I have right now, and it's all I can afford. Sir, congratulations. Let me first of all address that. You're doing something that many Americans just simply don't do, and that is you're taking advantage of your Second Amendment rights to protect yourself. Nothing wrong with a 22 revolver. I'm not gonna say that it's the most ideal, but if it's what you have, if that's the weapon you have and it makes you feel more comfortable carrying it, congratulations. You know, my philosophy on carrying a weapon is it doesn't necessarily have to be comfortable or be the most fancy weapon you can get, but it should be comforting. It doesn't have to be comfortable or fancy, but it should be comforting. And if it makes you feel better, it makes you feel more protected carrying that, let me tell you, a 22 revolver, if you do your job, it will do its job. A well-placed shot is the most important thing that you can do if you're going to be a concealed carry weapons holder. So, again, this is not going to be a firearms show. I've done others, and I'll do some in the future. But first of all, congratulations to you on that, sir. Couple of things that I'd like to share with you, and if some of you are listening and you're kind of wondering, how do I get started doing this? Someone from the forum made a post that I think might be very applicable to this gentleman who sent me an email. The user name of the person on our forum is M. Barnottle or Barnott E. I'm not sure which one it is, but he knows who he is too. And he makes a pretty good suggestion, and I'm going to go ahead and just read his post to you. He says, do an inventory first of what you have. Go room to room in your house and write down and record what you have. So many of us don't even know what we have already. I did this a couple of months ago, and let me tell you, there was a lot of great benefits in taking an inventory. He says in his post, by doing an inventory first, you can record all the serial numbers of all the valuables you have, take pictures of the items, and create a database. You just create a folder on your computer, back that database up to several different places, and he says this database will help you when you put a claim in to your insurance company if you lose your items in a disaster that happens to destroy your home. He said keep those copies in different locations, of course. The inventory will also tell you how much food you have on hand and what's out of date. And there's another benefit in doing an inventory of what food you have on hand. I'm going to cover that a little bit later. He says it'll also tell you what you like to eat and what you don't like to eat. And he said take the items that you don't use, have a garage sale. I'm going to stop here for a minute and talk about decluttering your house. One of the most important things you can do, and the concept of decluttering and having a garage sale or throwing some stuff on eBay, awesome. You know, there's one area in finances that a lot of folks fall short when they're preparing for life's challenges, and that is having an emergency fund. As you probably know, I'm a big a proponent of Dave Ramsey. If you have never read Dave Ramsey's book, Total Money Makeover, or if you've never taken one of his courses, I think for $12 or $13, you can get that book now. It's one of the best investments you can make. And he says you need to have an emergency fund. Let me talk about that. I think one of the first things you should do is have $1,000 in your emergency fund. $1,000 saved up in a savings account. And that's very important. Set up a separate savings account. And if you have to sell off some items that you're not using, you'd be amazed what you haven't used. A rule of thumb, if you haven't touched it or used it in a year, you probably don't need it. If a full year has gone by and you haven't used that, you probably don't need it. I've done this now 3 times. And it's amazing. There's more that that I could do to sell off. Sell off whatever, and I don't even care if you just raise a couple hundred dollars. If all you get is a couple hundred bucks, there is the start of your emergency fund. Start socking away money till you have at least $1,000. Why $1,000? Well, Dave Ramsey says most emergencies, most disasters financially are probably going to be $1,000 or less. Not all of them, but most. You'll be able to pay cash for that emergency and not have to go into debt. And that emergency fund, trust me, folks, it's going to make you feel better. So do that. And this gentleman who put the post on our forum, he also says, you know, when you get rid of the items that you don't need, you also create more storage space so that you can store more things like food and water and other things that you feel necessary to prepare. And when you inventory your items, you'll need to organize it, and at the same time, an organized home will make life easier when a disaster does hit. You know where things are and how to get to them. And he says, go one room at a time. Try not to inventory everything in one day or a weekend. That's important. Don't try to do everything all at once. Baby steps here. Use the time to clean, make your home safer, think about the items that you have and ask the question, you know, how could I use this item in a survival situation? Or ask yourself, well, how important is this item to me? Can I do without it? Is this something I really need, or is it something that I would never miss? You'd be amazed some of the stuff you have in your house that you wouldn't miss if it's gone. Especially if you don't know it's there. Or you've forgotten about it, then you're certainly not going to miss it. He says, but do it first as your preps, and it will save you a lot of money and time in the future. And after you inventory and organize, the next thing you need to do is acquire knowledge and skills. So that was a great post by this person on the forum. Take the inventory, get organized. Now, this last sentence that he posts, I think, is very important. After you take inventory and organize, the next thing you need to do is acquire knowledge and skills. Let's talk about some free preparations that you can do. Knowledge and skills, your training and the things that you know, much more important than what you have. I'm a firm believer that skills and knowledge must more much more important than gear. There are all kinds of free training courses. There are free training courses in first aid. There's free training courses that are put out by FEMA. I'm going to put a link in today's show notes about ways that you can get training for free or very little investment. I would say probably a course on first aid or a course on CPR, stuff like that. That's probably, I would say, one of the first training classes that you should take. And if you get on the internet and search your local area, I think you're going to find a plethora of places where you can get some good training. And for little to no cost, you can gain some knowledge in a disaster, in an emergency situation, or even just in everyday life. You never know where you're going to need something like some good first aid. When I was in the Boy Scouts, you know, that stuff that still sticks with me today. When I was in the Boy Scouts, we learned all kinds of first aid. And here I was, 14, 15 years old, learning that stuff, and it still sticks with me today. I still remember things. I was using some when my son got hurt about a month and a half ago. And after I got done helping him, I figured, you know what? I thought to myself, I learned that back when I was 15 years old. Some of that stuff's like riding a bike. You don't forget it. Now, the next topic I want to talk about is another idea on how to build up your emergency fund or just how to start setting aside money to prepare. One of the things you might want to do is take a good look at some of the non-essentials that you buy. I'm a big proponent of setting a goal of $10 a week. If you think about it, regardless of what your income is, you can probably figure out where $10 per week is going that really is a non-essential. You know, that's about 40 bucks a month. And let's face it, you'd be amazed. You can start building up your emergency fund, even if it's only 40 bucks a month. Start building that up. Don't buy any more junk. What about, you know, DVDs or music CDs that you really don't need? You know, how about cans of soda? Are you spending 10 bucks a month on soda pop? What about pay-per-view movies if you have cable? All right, what about cutting back your cable service a little bit? You might be able to save 40 or 50 bucks a month by cutting back your cable TV or your satellite. You know, think about it. Yeah, one of the things I like about this email that I got from this gentleman is he says he quit listening to the radio because it's mindless. It's true. There's a lot of other, you know, alternative things that you can watch or listen to. How about today's survival show? There you go. And there's some other survival shows out there that you can download. The Survival Podcast, the Preparedness Podcast. There's all kinds of different shows you can start listening to fill your mind with positive information and constructive training. Much more important to listen to that. So you'd be amazed. I think even more so than $40 a month, if you look at some of the non-essentials, you might even be able to start saving $100, $125 a month. And then put that money in your emergency fund till it gets to $1,000. After you get to $1,000, then start putting that money into some of the preparations that we're going to talk about here in a minute. Food items. Let's talk about putting away food. I've mentioned this before on other episodes. Set a goal for a minimum of a couple weeks of food at first. You know, you want to get eventually to 90 days, maybe 6 months worth of food. But start by just a smaller goal, a couple weeks. Here's some things you can get for $5, $6, $7 at the most. You know, how about a couple of cases of bottled water? Always good to have extra water on hand. Always keep a couple of cases of bottled water in your vehicle at all times. How about a couple of jars of peanut butter? Figure out what you eat and then store that. Don't store stuff that you're not going to eat, because one of the keys in storing food is rotation. So if you like peanut butter, how about a couple jars of peanut butter? How about some extra coffee? I keep a lot of extra coffee because I'm just a huge coffee drinker and I don't want to be without that. 4 or 5 cans of vegetables. 4 or 5 cans of meat. I love tuna fish. I have a lot of cans of tuna fish that I'm storing. And every once in a while, when I run out of tuna fish, I like to make myself a tuna fish sandwich. I go to my storage and I pull it out. The key thing you have to remember is once you take something out of your storage, quickly replace it. I mentioned the bottle of water. I recently found some of those 3-liter bottles of water on sale for 99 cents. Bought a whole bunch of them. So there you go. For $5, you can have 5 3-liter bottles. How about a couple of packages of pasta if you like pasta? How about 4 or 5 cans of soup? How about a couple of boxes of cereal so you can, you know, have a decent breakfast, even if you should run out, something happens. You know, I mean, let's talk about some common things that happen to us in everyday life. Losing a job. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be more comfortable, a better feeling if you knew you had 30 days worth of food stored if you lost your job? Okay? You don't have a grocery bill for 30 days while you're trying to find another form of employment. Sorry, folks, I got a little bit distracted there. I got cut off by a driver on the freeway that I'm on. Having that extra food set aside can really pay off, especially if you lose your job. Store some fruit. If you like to eat fruit, I store a lot of canned fruit, like peaches, mandarin oranges, things like that. Just because I love, me and my family, we like to eat a lot of that stuff. So I'm keeping a lot of that, and I buy the canned kind. I know a lot of people buy dried fruit. That's okay, too. I like to buy the canned kind just because it's easy for me to store, and it makes it real simple. But also, just put away some things also in an emergency bag. You know, do you have a small emergency bag? Some people I know don't even have one of these. It's also called a bug-out bag. Start small. Start with a cheap backpack if money is tight. If you can afford it, go get one of those internal frame packs. You can get a real nice internal frame pack over at, here in North Texas, we have Academy Sporting Goods store. I found a really good one for $69. Just an internal frame backpack. You can store a ton of stuff in there. Do you have an extra flashlight? Do you have some small tools in an emergency bag? Do you have some extra batteries? Do you have an extra change of clothes, socks? Do you have some ways to make a fire? Do you have some extra lighters? You got some extra matches? Do you have some bottles of aspirin? Do you have enough food for a couple days in your emergency bag? You know, if you want some peace of mind, if you have to leave your house and you have to leave it quickly, and you've got a family and you're taking them with you, do you have at least some food to keep you going for a couple of days? How about a knife? Do you have a good knife? Do you have some? Do you have a manual can opener? If you're going to store some canned food, especially in your emergency bag, do you have a manual can opener? So it's, you know what, you can get one of those for $3.99 at Walmart. Do you have some rolls of duct tape? And I mean, isn't that one of the most universal tools that there is? You can pretty much do anything with duct tape and WD-40, right? How about a multi-tool? I found a little multi-tool for $5 at Walmart. Just something inexpensive. If you've got something, if you have an extra one that's fancier, put that in your emergency bag. A blanket. And I mentioned aspirin, also some other over-the-counter stuff, like Aleve, aspirin, antihistamines. How about a small air compressor? This saved my butt one time. Having a small air compressor pump up a tire to get you to a tire repair station if there's one nearby. Happened to me once. 105 degrees in Dallas. I was out actually doing some business, making some sales calls, and kind of got into, I think I ran over a nail, if I remember correctly. Came out of my sales call, go out to the parking lot, got a flat tire. 105, I don't feel like changing it. I could actually see the nail. Had an air compressor that was actually given to me. One of those little air compressors you just plug into the cigarette lighter and power it off the DC power in your car. I was able to pump it up. I found out, got on my cell phone, and I Googled some of the tire repair centers in the area. I found out there was one 4 miles away. I was able to inflate my tire and get 4 miles to the tire repair shop, not have to change my tire and get all sweaty. And that was just one of those conveniences that, those things are just some lifesavers. Those things can really help you out more than you know. Another thing, here's something that's free that you can do. How about listening to the first 20 episodes of today's survival show? I had to get that in there. But if you listen to the first 20 that I've recorded already, I think you're going to find some good information in there as to how to get started. So that might be more information than the guy wanted, I'm not sure, but I also covered a lot of that for some of you that maybe are not members of our forum or some of you that haven't had a chance to listen to the first 20 episodes that I've recorded. There are some good ideas on how to, see, I think I'm a firm believer that getting started is the most important thing that we can do. And most people, they'll listen to shows like this, they'll read information, but they just never do it. Take action. Just start somewhere. Folks, I really don't even care if it's opening up a bank account and a savings account and putting $40 in there or something like that. Even that is a start. Okay, let's move on to the next segment. I like to do a segment called Numbskulls and Notables, and it's a spinoff of Bill O'Reilly's Pinheads and Patriots in Fox News. I call it Numbskulls and Notables. My dad used to call me a numbskull whenever I did something stupid, so it's kind of stuck with me all throughout the years. And the first numbskull that I want to talk about is not really a person. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is a person. If you haven't noticed it on the news lately, there's an elementary school in New Jersey. The name of the school is Bernice Young Elementary School. The numbskull would be whoever the superintendent is of this school. What they did is they had 20 kindergartners singing songs praising President Obama. And again, I'm not trying to be political here, folks. I welcome all political opinions from whatever political belief you have. You are welcome at today's survival show. I'm not picking on anybody. But I've got a real problem with schools. This is kind of indoctrination, folks. I've got a real problem with schools making up songs like I'm going to talk to you about now and getting kindergarten age kids to start singing praises to the President of the United States. And I don't care who the President is. Listen to some of the words. I'm going to play the audio clip for you here in a minute so you can hear it. But this is what they had these kids singing. Barack Hussein Obama, he said that all must lend a hand to make this country strong again. Barack Hussein Obama, he said we must be fair today. Equal work means equal pay. Barack Hussein Obama, he said that we must take a stand to make sure everyone gets a chance. Barack Hussein Obama, he said red, yellow, yellow, black, or white, all are equal in his sight. Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times they say his name. And they also sang another song that I guess was kind of a spin-off on Jesus Loves the Little Children. But instead of singing Jesus Loves the Little Children, they replaced it with President Obama. You know, folks, come on. I really think that this is kind of over the top when schools do things like this. I'm going to put a link in today's show notes. You'll be able to go to the actual YouTube video and see the whole thing. 20 kindergartners. I'm going to play a small clip. So you know I'm not just BSing you here. Go ahead and listen to this clip. Listen to these little kindergartners sing this song.
Okay, now everybody, let's sing it together on the count of three.
All right.
I like that.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, so Bernice Young Elementary School, you guys get the Numbskull Award of the Day from today's Survival Show. I'm not calling the kids a numbskull by any means. They're just doing what they were told. But come on, Bernice Young Elementary. I think that's inappropriate and over the top. The notable person. I love to point out people who tell it like it is. The notable person is Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm going to play an audio clip for you of President Netanyahu's address recently to the United Nations. Basically, he got all over them about how they love to appease the Iranian dictator Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And he calls them a disgrace. And you know, I tell you, again, I'm not trying to get political here, folks, but we all know the United Nations has done a lot of pretty questionable stuff. And you just got to hear this for yourself. Here's Prime Minister Netanyahu. Listen to this, and I'll let you be the judge, but there's some pretty good stuff here.
The most urgent challenge facing this body today is to prevent the tyrants of Tehran from acquiring nuclear weapons. Are the members of the United Nations up to that challenge?
The Prime Minister also criticized the United Nations for allowing Ahmadinejad to address the General Assembly.
You give legitimacy to a man who denies the murder of 6 million Jews while promising to wipe out the State of Israel, the State of the Jews? What a disgrace. What a mockery of the Charter of the United Nations.
I like that when world leaders call out organizations when they're being a disgrace. So, President Netanyahu, you get today's Survival Show Notable Award. All right, let's move into the next topic. Let's talk about physical fitness, the diet of healthy people. And this is very, very critical to survival. You got to be in shape, you got to be well nourished. And it doesn't matter whether you're into survivalism or not. This is good stuff here, keeping in shape. I'm going to talk about some things that I've recently done. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm a physical specimen by any means, but I'm definitely not overweight. I used to be. Lost 37 pounds in a year. I did it slow. I did it with diet and with exercise. I'm going to give you a foolproof method right now of getting in shape and staying fit. This works every single time without question. You ready? Eat less, exercise more. Sorry if I have to put it so simply like that. Now, when I say eat less, I don't mean eat less quantity of food. I'll clarify what I mean in a little while here. But it took me about a year to lose 37 pounds. And I also, you know, put some more muscle on. And the most important thing is I've kept it off. And it will literally change your life, folks, if you get fit. Getting fit, getting in shape. I mean, think about it. What if you are in an emergency situation? What if you got to walk 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles with a 65-pound backpack? Can you do it? You should be able to do it. Not to mention, staying in shape just overall makes you feel better. It makes you sleep better. It makes you feel better, and you know, you don't have to quite expend as much energy to do what you need to do. So let's talk about some things that we can do to get in better shape. And it really, most of it starts at first, folks, with diet. I really believe getting in shape is 80% diet, 20% exercise. I know some people will agree with me on that, but if you actually research how many calories you're burning when you get on a treadmill for 15 minutes, you can destroy your 15-minute workout on that treadmill by eating ice cream for dessert. It's as simple as that. And let me bust a myth here. There's a common belief that a slim person's metabolism is high and that an overweight person's metabolism is low. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's a myth. This is not usually the case. Weight is not necessarily linked to metabolism. And let me explain why. Let me give you some reality here. Weight is really dependent on the balance of the calories that you take in versus what you're burning and versus what you're doing to burn those calories off. In other words, if you take in more calories than your body needs, you gain weight. Simple as that. If you take in less, you lose weight. Metabolism is the process that your body goes through to convert that food into energy. And during this process, calories that you get from things like carbs and fats and proteins are combined with oxygen and to release energy into your body. But it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with whether you gain or whether you lose weight. What really has a lot to do with it is the number of calories that you're burning every day, which is called, there's a term for that, your total energy expenditure. Now, you might think, well, Bob, I already knew that. Everybody knows that if you burn up the calories and if you burn up more calories, then you're going to lose weight. But let me talk about three factors that really come into play here. The first is, how many calories are you burning just when you're at rest? Your body is actually burning calories while you're resting. I don't know if you know that or not, but it requires a lot of energy for doing things like breathing, circulating blood, adjusting your hormone levels, repairing cells. And I don't know if you know this or not, but just what your body has to do to keep you alive burns about 2/3 to 3/4 of the calories that you use every day. Also, processing your food. Whatever you eat, I mean, your body has to digest it. It's got to absorb it. And it's got to transport that food that you store throughout your body. That also consumes calories. And that accounts for about 10% or so of all the calories that you use. Here is the important part right here. One of the important parts. Physical activity. That accounts for the rest of the calories that your body is going to burn outside of taking care of your basic needs to keep you alive and processing your food. You control the number of those extra calories that you burn depending on how frequent, how long, and how intense your physical activity is and based on what you eat. Now, there's also another myth. A lot of people think, well, you know, if I'm overweight, it has something to do with a medical condition. You know, I got a slow thyroid, for example. I've heard that. Let me tell you, I have hypothyroidism. My thyroid is underactive. But I was still able to shed those pounds and get into shape. So it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with your thyroid either. That's medically pretty much a myth. There are rare exceptions. And folks, I'm not a doctor. You know, I want to put a disclaimer right now. I'm not trying to give medical advice to anybody. I'm just telling you that that's not usually the case. In reality, it's pretty uncommon for excess weight to be linked to things like hypothyroidism, low metabolism, and things like that. Weight gain is most likely due to an energy imbalance. Consuming more calories than what you're burning, simple as that. And so let's talk about burning calories. You know, you're probably thinking, okay, Bob, I got the point. Now tell me how to do it. First of all, let's talk about your body size and your composition. If you're a larger person, a bigger body mass requires a lot more energy. Makes sense, right? A lot more energy than a smaller body does. One thing I want you to understand is that, and I learned this from my personal trainer, and by the way, one of the best investments that I've ever made is two things. I signed up for a health club, and I also invested the money in a personal trainer. If you can't afford the personal trainer, that's okay. The key is consistency. At least sign up to go do something. And even if you do some free activities, even if you walk, play tennis, jog, whatever, even if you do activities that are free, be consistent. You know, my personal trainer used to say, Bob, you're one of the most consistent people I've ever had. You're always in here. And I did. I made a commitment. I went 4 days a week. And I started off just 15 minutes a day with physical exercise. And I also want to say something about physical exercise. Don't overdo it, folks. There's a big temptation. We all want to go out there and be a bodybuilder right away. Don't get carried away, especially guys. You don't have to go out there and start building big-time muscle instantly. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but start slow and just do it gradually, but be consistent. I started with 15 minutes a day. That was it, 15 minutes. All you got to do is get your heart rate up to about 120% of your resting heart rate. Figure out what your resting heart rate is and do some exercise and get it up to about 120% of that. And then just keep it there for about 15 minutes. And that was it. And my trainer hammered it into me that what I should not do is overdo it. And that was one of the best pieces of advice, that he ever gave me. But you do have to work on building muscle. And the reason I mentioned that is because muscle burns more calories than fat. Remember that. Muscle burns more calories than fat. The older you get, the amount of muscle tends to decrease, and the amount of fat tends to increase. And the fat accounts for more of your weight. And you know, together, what happens with the decrease of muscle, the increase of fat, you don't burn the calories that you're supposed to burn. Now, let's talk a little bit about the difference between men and women. Men usually have less body fat and more muscle than do women of the same age. Key is same age. Men usually have more muscle, so they usually burn calories a little bit faster. Sorry, ladies, that's just kind of a fact of life. But for you ladies out there, all it means is just might be some different ways that you have to work out and some different things that you have to work on. Now, let me say something else about burning calories. Folks, please, don't get suckered into all these stupid fad diets out there and all these magic pills and everything. Save your money. Really, I mean, save your money. I've lost count of how many junk emails I get from ridiculous, stupid magic pills and potions and stuff like that that are supposed to make you drop 22 pounds in 2 weeks. A lot of that stuff, folks, is not very safe, and you really got to watch out for it. I'm just a firm believer in doing things slow. Set a goal. You know what my goal was? My goal was 3 pounds a month. That was it, 3 pounds a month. Don't try to do this too fast. But remember, one of the reasons why you're going to go out and exercise is not just to get your heart rate up. That's important. It builds your heart rate. But also exercise starts building muscle. And what did I say earlier about muscle? Muscle burns more calories than fat. Now, getting in shape is more than just running, more than just jogging, more than just going to an aerobics class. One person on the forum, I think he goes by the username CX, he talks about taking a yoga class. That's good, too. Things like flexibility, like yoga and Pilates. Now, I took yoga and I lasted one class. It was brutal. I hated yoga. I couldn't handle it. But for some of you, if you can handle that, more power to you. But it's more than just doing aerobic stuff. Don't forget about the weight training. Now, let's talk a little bit about weight training. I made a comment. You don't have to go in there and be Arnold Schwarzenegger within 6 months. The most effective way to weight train, in my opinion, I know I might get some disagreements on this, is doing a lot of repetitions with a small amount of weight. You would be amazed what even 10 or 12 or 15 pounds of weight will do. My trainer had me on all different types of weight training exercises. And I was always, you know, my ego at first was wanting to max out everything. I wanted to see how much I could lift in every different exercise that I tried. And he said, Bob, don't do that. Start with a light weight. The reason being is, if you perform that exercise slow, steady, and practice real good form while you're lifting those weights, you're going to get just as much benefit as if you were to doing this herky-jerky stuff or trying to max out and just do two repetitions at your maximum weight. Guys, I know, listen, the ego takes over. We want to see how strong we are and how much we can actually power lift. If you want to get in shape, if you want to get in real good shape, save the power lifting for later. Throw 10 pounds on the dumbbells and lay down on that bench and just slowly but surely practice and do lots of reps. Do 10, 12, 15 reps and work on your form. While you're having to balance that weight for a longer period of time and keeping your form perfect is also going to work your muscles just as much as using heavy weights. The other key to weight training, in my personal opinion, is that when you go to work out, you need to work a different body group, group of your muscles each day. What I mean is I used to break my workout down into three sections. I used to go in and do a legs and lower body workout. Then I used to go in and do an upper body workout. And then the next time I'd go in and I would just work on my core. I just work on my abs and things like that. Okay? And those were my three different methods. I'd go in one time and do, in fact, I was going in 4 days a week, like I told you. I'd go in and I'd do a legs and lower body. Then I'd go in and do an upper body. Then I'd go in and do the next time a work in my core. And then the fourth workout, I would usually just do a cardio workout where I would do nothing but treadmill and elliptical and Stairmaster and things like that. And even though regularly scheduled aerobic exercise is good for burning those calories, look for ways to do other activities that are going to help you build muscle. Now, aside from just working out, don't forget about lifestyle activities. In survivalism, a lot of us like to start gardens and grow things in our garden. Even an activity such as gardening can burn calories. Washing your car, doing housework. Those will burn some calories. Depending on what kind of housework it is, guys, it can build some muscle, too. Here's a couple more ideas for you. How about when you go to your doctor's office, for example, and maybe your doctor's on the sixth floor of a building. Take the stairs. Don't use elevators. Take stairs whenever you can. Park your car a block away from where you're supposed to be and walk that block. Things like that. I mean, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but park your car on the furthest part of the parking lot away from the building that you're going to and walk. Little things like that will add up over time. Now, let's talk a little bit about eating. Another way that I was able to get myself in pretty decent shape and to maintain my weight loss was something else my trainer taught me. Eating. A lot of people have the misconception. They feel like, well, the less I eat, then I'm going to start losing some weight. Quite the opposite. I mentioned earlier, eat less and exercise more. What I meant by that statement was eat fewer calories and exercise more. But don't eat less often. Matter of fact, one of the best ways to get in shape, folks, is to eat 5 or 6 times a day. My trainer had me on 6 meals a day. 3 full meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then I had 3 snack periods where I could snack. And if anybody tells you that snacking puts on weight, they're lying to you. Now, it depends on what you're eating. If you're snacking on potato chips and candy bars, of course that's going to put weight on you. But if you're snacking on carrots or broccoli or fruit or whatever, you're not going to put on weight. And let's talk a little bit about meals. Breakfast. Folks, don't skip breakfast. My wife skips breakfast. I know a lot of people who skip breakfast. Breakfast, one of the most important meals. A couple of things breakfast does for you. It reduces your hunger later in the day. I used to notice that when I used to skip breakfast, I would feel so much hungrier by the time lunch came, it was tempting to overeat. And that's one of the problems, is then you start to gorge on meals because you're hungry, you're too hungry. Another benefit of eating breakfast is it gets you on track to start thinking about healthy eating for the rest of the day. People who eat breakfast regularly tend to eat a healthier diet. And when you skip breakfast, you're a lot more likely to skip some of the fruits and vegetables that you need for the rest of the day. I don't care if all you do is you just get up and eat a couple pieces of toast for breakfast. That might not be the most healthy breakfast that you can eat, but at least it's gotten you in the habit now of thinking about eating breakfast, and then start making it healthier. Start off with a much healthier breakfast than a couple pieces of toast, but don't skip that meal. The other thing you have to remember about eating breakfast is, think about it, if you've slept for 8 to 10 hours, your body hasn't eaten for 8 to 10 hours. It needs nourishment. There's something that goes inside in our body that's called glycogen stores. It's basically where your body stores sugar. It stores glucose. And there's a good reason that your body does that. I'm going to cover that here in just a minute. But skipping breakfast cuts back your body's ability to store that sugar that it really needs. And a couple of things I want to share with you on that. Your body stores its own blood sugar, and it uses that as an energy source when you start to engage in heavy physical activity. And you've probably all heard the concept or the term carb loading. A lot of marathon and long distance runners will load up with tons and tons of carbohydrates a few days before they're going to run a marathon, for example. Well, the reason they do that is your body turns those carbs into sugar. And then your body draws upon that blood sugar to give you the energy you need to run that marathon. That's why eating often throughout the day helps keep your body's blood sugar high. Now, you know, again, I'm going to put a disclaimer on this. I'm not a doctor. If you're a diabetic, you know, you need to consult with your doctor about the proper diet and the proper exercise program. I have celiac disease. If you don't know what celiac disease is, that means I have an allergy to gluten, wheat. I can't eat anything with gluten in it. Well, I want you to think about everything that has gluten in it. It's amazing. It's a tough diet. Basically, if you have celiac disease, I call that a death sentence for people who like to eat. But I learned to deal with it. I have to snack, and I have to eat a lot of things that don't contain wheat. I have to find ways to get my carbohydrates in products that don't contain wheat. And I may do another show on that, as far as how to get different nutrients from different types of foods that don't contain products that might be harmful to you. And since we're on the subject of eating, the other thing I want to mention is be careful of how you mix foods. One of the ways to get in shape is get on a boxer's diet. Try that. If some of you really want to get disciplined, get on the internet and Google boxer's diet. And eat like professional boxers do. Try that for about a week and a half to 2 weeks. You'd be amazed how that'll start changing your eating habits. Now, I'm not going to completely cover the boxer's diet with you, but I did it. I had a friend of mine about 15 years ago that used to train professional boxers, and I'm going to do another show on this because there's some pretty good information that you can get from the boxer's diet, and even if you don't want to follow the diet 100%, you can at least do some of it to help you get in better shape. But for about 45 days total, actually, it was about 6 weeks or so, I got on a boxer's diet, and let me tell you what, that combined with exercise, and I got in some pretty good shape. Unfortunately, when I got off that, and here's the danger with special diets, when you get off them, you start putting that weight back on. So one of the ways to maintain your weight once you get down to a certain point is to be careful how you mix foods. It's a good rule of thumb not to mix carbohydrates with meat, for example. The protein in meat that your body, the enzymes your body has to put out to digest the meat, it doesn't mix very well with carbohydrates. And what's one of the problems? What do a lot of us eat with our steak? A baked potato. Not good. Sit down and just eat steak and vegetables. If you want to eat carbs, eat carbohydrates by themselves. If you want to eat pasta, it's okay. You know, make pasta just a meal by itself. Another thing I learned is try not to mix fruit with meat. Something about the way your body tries to digest both of those together. It's better to just eat fruit by itself. Like, for example, I like to just snack on apples and oranges and make that a midday snack. Try not to mix fruits and vegetables together. If you're going to eat vegetables, just eat vegetables. If you're going to eat fruit, just eat fruit. Also learn to do things like when you go to restaurants and you order a steak, for example, instead of ordering a baked potato, order an extra helping of vegetables. You'd be amazed that most of the time they'll do that for you. It won't charge any extra money. You might wait a little longer to get your food, but at least you're going to be eating healthier. And the other thing that I want to mention about eating often, like eating five or six times a day, it keeps you from getting extremely hungry when it's time to eat your major meal. For example, if you eat a good breakfast, and then you have a snack again about 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock, by the time lunchtime rolls around, you're less likely to start gorging and socking down the food at lunchtime because you're not as hungry. And the last thing I want to cover right before I conclude the show here is another thing my personal trainer taught me was the size of the meals that you eat. A lot of us eat big, heavy dinners. It really needs to be the other way around, folks. Your largest meal of the day needs to be breakfast. And then lunch is a little bit smaller, and dinner is your smallest meal of the day. Dinner actually is kind of a waste. In my opinion, dinner is kind of a waste. If you've eaten a healthy breakfast, you've snacked quite a bit, you've eaten a healthy lunch, a little bit smaller than breakfast, and you have a couple more snacks after lunch, if you went without dinner, you still nourished your body pretty well, assuming you're eating healthy. Again, assuming you're not snacking on Doritos and a can of Coke. By the time dinner rolls around, you probably aren't going to need it. But if you are going to eat a dinner, make that your smallest meal of the day. Another thing I learned, and I'll conclude with this, and that is try not to eat anything after 6 o'clock. Now, I know this is hard. This was the hardest part for me. Try not to eat anything after 6 p.m. Eating after 6 o'clock, if you're going to bed shortly after that, that food just lays in your stomach. You feel like you go to bed with a basketball in your stomach. And you might as well go to bed with a basketball in your stomach because your body, first of all, you're not spending very many calories when you're sleeping. Your body's not going to burn that up. Go to bed hungry. Okay? If dinner is small, let's say you eat dinner at 6 o'clock and you go to bed at 10:30, you might be a little bit hungry. That's okay. You'll live. Go to sleep even if you're a little bit hungry. When you get up, you can eat that big breakfast that you should eat anyway. All right? So hopefully I've given you some things to think about. as far as your diet and your exercise. There's more I want to cover on this, but I don't want to make these shows a little bit too long. So there's some more research I'm going to do, and there's some more info I'm going to share with you on the personal training program that I went through a couple of years ago. I'll get my notes out on that. But anyway, thanks again. I'm going to go ahead and sign off with this. You've just listened to episode 21 of today's Survival Show. I'm Bob Main, and we help you harness the power of choice to live the life, the healthy life that you want, and to strengthen your resolve. And we make survival simple, not extreme. So thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.